Danpos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. After the first commercial break, we're going to be joined by Christopher John Bjerknes, the very fine historian who has the site JewishRacism.com, dedicated to protecting all Jews from the anti-Semitism and inhumanity of racist Jews. Reading that directly from his site, he has a complete 575-page book, The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. We're going to be examining that topic with him today. I have not read the book. I am familiar with the fact that he has two fine videos out that you can currently see at Jeff Rentz's site at Rentz.com dealing with this subject. And so when he comes on after the first commercial break, we're going to be talking about this whole issue and the historical information that he has to share with us involved in what was really behind the massacre of Armenian Christians in the first part of the 20th century. We have a number of interesting items to cover with you today in the press in a couple of minutes before Christopher comes on. Jack Schaefer has an interesting post today at Slate Magazine entitled, How Lady Bird and Lyndon Baines Johnson Came by Their Millions. That's a very interesting post. We're not going to read from it this morning, but suffice it to say, maybe in the next day or two, I'll cover a little bit of the information that is to be found in that piece. Paul Craig Roberts has something for us today entitled A Free Press or A Ministry of Truth. You can find that very fine op-ed piece at lourockwell.com. And by the way, I should hasten to add that also at 9:30 this morning, just for about 20 minutes, Christopher Cox of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action is going to join me to discuss some of the latest things going on as it relates to gun legislation in the country. That's what's on tap at 9:30 a.m. And then, of course, we're hopefully going to have Christopher John Bjerknes on with us for at least an hour, maybe 2 hours, depending on how things go in our conversation this morning. Getting into this whole thing with Paul Craig Robertson in the couple of minutes that we have before the first commercial break, he says that in his novel 1984, George Orwell portrayed a future time in which the explanations of recent events in earlier history are continually changed to meet Big Brother's latest purpose. Previous explanations disappear down the memory hole. Sound familiar, he asks? Any American who pays attention can observe the identical phenomenon occurring in the United States today. Think about the Bush regime's changing explanations for the failed U.S. occupation of Iraq. Shortly after Bush's May 2003 announcement of mission accomplished, the mission revealed itself to be very much unaccomplished. Americans were told that the cause of the snafu was a small Sunni insurgency of 2,000 or 3,000 at the most, inspired by, quote, diehard Ba'ath Party remnants, unquote. Remember the propagandistic deck of cards identifying the most wanted down to the less wanted? Americans were assured that once Saddam Hussein and his relatives and henchmen were rounded up, our troops would be pelted with the promised flowers instead of roadside bombs. When the roundups, trials, and executions failed to fix the problem, the diehard explanation disappeared. A new explanation with no continuity to the old took its place. The new explanation was that Syria was allowing foreigners to cross its border into Iraq to commit jihad against the American troops. This explanation lasted until it became all too clear, despite the propaganda, that the foreign fighters, quote-unquote, were remarkably well accepted by and concealed within the Iraqi communities that were suffering all the collateral damage of the conflict. When it came time for the U.S. to create an Iraqi government, it was evident that it would be one dominated by Shiites. Then, for a limited time, it was permissible to recognize that the insurgency was popularly based in the Sunnis. Paul Craig Roberts continues that essay. Probably take a further look at it tomorrow. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We hope to be joined by Christopher John Bjerknes of JewishRacism.com when we return. Stay tuned.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined for the next hour or two by Christopher John Bjerknes, who is the head of the JewishRacism.com website. He has written a number of fascinating manuscripts, including a complete 575-page book entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. If you look at JewishRacism.com, you will discover all kinds of incredible things to share with your family members and friends in regard to a whole series of topics that are listed on the left-hand column of the page. You will not be disappointed in this website. You'll be spending not minutes with it, but hours and days and weeks, hopefully, looking at all of the things that he has to share with us, including something at the bottom of the page entitled The Manufacture and Sale of St. Einstein. What is the real story on Albert Einstein? Christopher John Bjerknes has a 2,825-page treatise on that subject, which we will hopefully do a separate show on here in the not-too-distant future. Christopher, how are you? Christopher, how are you? Very good. We're having a little technical difficulty. We're going to bring him up on a different line here. And while that's taking place, I just wanted to get back a little bit to this discussion of Paul Craig Roberts and what he was saying to us today at lewrockwell.com. You know, I think it's important to take today's essay by Dr. Roberts and to compare it with his warnings, which we looked at yesterday, in regard to the whole issue of an impending attack on Iran. I think when you look at the historical evidence that he presents in today's essay, you'll see that, in fact, there's a very interesting thing going on here, and that is that there is fundamentally a connection going on between the actions of the administration in regard to this whole subject, the control of significant members of both houses of Congress and both parties. Yes, Christopher. Are you there? Still working on that, I guess. But there's a whole issue related to this, I think, in terms of what Dr. Peter Phillips was talking about yesterday on this show when he connected up with us from Sonoma State University. And that is the way in which the establishment news media is serving in an Orwellian capacity to bring to us the truth, quote-unquote, that the administration and the two houses of Congress, the two major political parties, and their corporate masters want us to believe in regard to what is happening in the Middle East as well as on a whole host of other subjects. And that, as Dr. Roberts reminds us in today's op-ed piece for lewrockwell.com, that truth keeps changing. It keeps being reevaluated. We keep being told different things, different days, different weeks, different months, different years, and that it's important to go back into what Roberts tells us just about the Iraq War alone to see the way in which revealed truth continues evolving as the administration wants it to evolve, continues evolving as certain members of Congress want it to evolve. Certainly it's evolving in terms of what the Israeli lobby wants us to believe about what's happening in the Middle East, and that as the story keeps changing, all we need to do is to go back and have our historical memories refreshed, as Paul Craig Roberts does it this morning, to discover that, in fact, we're dealing with a situation here in which the Ministry of Truth that is represented by mainstream press is, in fact, a controlled media that is actually serving the interests of the multinational conglomerates and the central bankers and the Israeli lobby, who are, in fact, controlling what is going on with American foreign policy. Christopher, how are you, sir?
Very good, sir. How are you?
Good. I was just introducing Christopher John Bjorknes to the audience a few minutes ago and asking them to take a look at JewishRacism.com if, in fact, they have a computer turned on. Was indicating to them that we're going to be taking a look this morning at this whole issue of the Jewish genocide of Armenian Christians. Lay out for us, if you will, Christopher, since you are a historian, what is the complete context as you understand it of what happened to the Armenians in the first part of the 20th century?
Well, first let me give a brief outline of who the Armenians were. It was an ancient nation that existed between the Black and the Caspian Seas in what is today modern Armenia, which is much smaller than ancient Armenia, that also included parts of Azerbaijan, parts of Georgia, and parts of northeastern Turkey. They were the first Christian nation. They have their own language. They had their own alphabet. And at the end of the 19th century, they were very prominent in the Ottoman Turkish Empire. They were the administrators, the ministers, the bankers, the professionals, the academics. They constituted the intelligentsia of the Turkish Empire. And the Zionists, at the end of the 19th century, had their sights set on Palestine, and Palestine was under the control of the Turkish Empire. And in order to get their hands on Palestine, they had to dissolve the Turkish Empire and partition it so that the Jews could take control of Palestine. And the Jews cut a deal with treacherous Armenian leadership that if the Armenians would betray their people to a massacre, it would enrage the Western world against the Turkish Empire, which was an Islamic empire, because the Armenians were Christians. they believed that other Christians would come to the aid of the Armenians, and that that could provoke a world war, which would eventually lead to the dissolution of the Turkish Empire and the partitioning up of the Turkish Empire into independent nations, so that the Arabs would have their own nations, the Armenians would have their own nation, and the Jews could seize control of Palestine and in Palestine form their own nation.
You know, as I listen to this, it reminds me a little bit of what I think is happening in a contemporary context with the Zionist work with certain elements in the Iranian expatriate movement worldwide in order to get at the present regime in Tehran. Some of these people have talked to me about this, and I have simply said to them, look, you know, whatever you think of the present regime in Tehran one way or the other, you start working with people like Michael Ledeen at the American Enterprise Institute and Kenneth R. Timmerman of the Washington Times and so forth and so on, and you're going to discover that these folks will destroy what is left of your country. There will be nothing left of it. And it seems to me that what you're telling us then is that this same type of divide-and-conquer strategy and the same Zionist strategy of working with a certain brand of leadership within the Armenian nation was doing the same thing. In other words, fully prepared to sell out their own people in order for whatever the payoff was, whatever the quid pro quo happened to be.
Absolutely, and that's a very good example that the Iranian nation is composed of many different ethnicities and religions, and Zionists are trying to pit one group against another and making promises to each that if the Iranian nation is brought into a war or brought into a revolution, that these independent groups will then be able to establish their own independent republics. And in this fashion, they generate civil wars and all kinds of conflicts. But ultimately, they renege on all their promises as they reneged on their promises to the Armenians. Woodrow Wilson was a strong Zionist, and he promised the Armenians that after World War I, they would be given an independent democratic Armenian republic. And indeed, at the end of World War I, there was a short-lived independent Armenian Republic, but it, too, was destroyed by the same forces that committed the Armenian Holocaust, and it was also destroyed by the crypto-Jewish Bolsheviks who attacked from the north as the so-called Young Turks attacked from the south. And we have a good example also in Abbas, the way that the Israelis sponsored both Fatah and Hamas to pit them against one another, promising each group of leadership that they would eventually rule. And instead, it has led to catastrophe and civil war.
As far as the particulars of how they pulled off this betrayal, who, in your judgment, were some of the key people on both the Zionist side and the Armenian side who participated in this nefarious business? And what were some of the specific promises that were made to the Armenian leadership that agreed to work with the Zionists?
The Young Turk Revolution is really a misnomer, and it's a deliberate misnomer. It was carried out by Jews from Salonika, who many of whom were open Jews, others were crypto Jews who were known as Derne, and they overthrew the Sultan in 1908 and 1909 and seized control of it. And the key players, there was a government, there was an open government, and then there was a government behind the scenes that was known as the Committee of Union and Progress. The open government consisted of a triumvirate of three key players, Talat Pasha, Enver Pasha, and Jamal Pasha. And the most powerful of those three by far was Talat Pasha, who was the Minister of Interior. And he was also Grand Master of the Grand Orient Masonic Lodge of Constantinople. But behind this was the Committee for Union and Progress, which was chiefly run by Javid Bai, who was a descendant of a false Jewish messiah and was a leading crypto-Jew and became Minister of Finance and was an arch-Zionist. And there was another arch-Zionist named Emmanuel Carrasco, who profiteered off of the revolution and financed and orchestrated it.
We'll be back with Christopher John Bjorknes. You can find his very fine website at JewishRacism.com, and his incredible manuscript is entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians, a 575-page book. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by historian Christopher John Bjorknes. He is the head of the JewishRacism.com website. You can see a series of manuscripts there that are just absolutely amazing in terms of the data and the analysis that is contained there. We're talking today about his book, The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. That complete 575-page book, by the way, is available by going to JewishRacism.com, going to the left-hand side of the page, clicking on Armenian Genocide, and then you will see a link for the free PDF file. And as you go to the bottom of that page, entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians, you can see the table of contents. There is a prehistory of the 1915 genocide, followed by Part 2, which is The Genocidal Young Turks Were Zionist Crypto-Jews. Part 3 is entitled Rothschild, King of the Jews. Part 4 then deals with Mordecai Manuel Noah. Back to our conversation, Christopher. So we had a situation here where clearly the Zionists obviously decided that fomenting a situation between Armenia and Turkey, or between Armenia and the Ottoman Empire, was in their interest in terms of creating world conditions that would ultimately result in the demise of the Ottoman Empire and the opportunity for the Jews to repossess Palestine. In terms of some of the specific people that they were then working with within the Armenian leadership to betray their own people was a Secretary of the Interior or a Minister of the Interior, a Minister of Finance. We've talked about the fact that there was, briefly a clear Freemasonic connection to this. And again, in regard to the whole situation, it was clearly a strategy that apparently involved divide and conquer, and that ultimately resulted, obviously, not simply in a terrible killing of untold numbers of Armenians, but obviously we're talking about something that ended up provoking a full-fledged First World War. So ultimately, the people who were behind this presumably had some conception of the level of death and destruction on a massive scale that was going to be caused by this whole situation.
Yes, precisely. And the structuring of the whole thing was iterated in 1903 at the Zionist Convention, where Max Nordau established that a peace conference was needed, and that in order to have a peace conference, you would first need a war. And the reason that they wanted a peace conference was because they believed that they could then petition for independent Jewish state when the empires were broken up by the First World War, that each of the ethnic minorities would demand their own nation, not only from the destroyed Turkish Empire, but from the destroyed Pan-Germanic Empire, from the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and from the Russian Empire. So the First World War accomplished many things for them. It destroyed these empires, and it enabled them to have a peace conference and to create world government through the League of Nations, which was a Zionist institution before it was even instituted, so that they could then manipulate all of the nations and make it appear that they themselves were the victims of this whole conflict and that it was finally time for the Jews to be restored to Palestine.
In terms of this 1903 conference, was that exclusively comprised of Zionists?
It was. I'm sure there were reporters from other institutions, but yes, it was a Zionist conference as far as I'm aware. I'm not aware that there were delegations who were non-Zionists that were involved. I've never investigated that. It's an interesting question. I'm
yes.
sure that the Tsar had his spies there as well.
Yes, and presumably during this 1903 conference, as you point out, between the Russian Tsar and one would suspect the leadership of a series of other nations and empires, that a whole series of folks were keeping their eye on this thing. One presumes that at least a few of the prospective targets of this operation began to understand the larger context of it and who was behind it, and the level of vulnerability that they faced in terms of what the larger design was.
Absolutely. And the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion were published in 1905, and they have been ridiculed because they present a Judeo-Masonic conspiracy theory. But that's precisely what occurred in the Turkish Empire. It was a Masonic-Judeo alliance which overthrew the Turkish Empire. And the Masonic lodges that were involved were completely Jewish through and through. They were founded by Jews. They recruited Jews, and they operated with Jewish bankers.
We'll take up that particular aspect of things in regard to the Masonic angle when we come back with Christopher John Bjorkness. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Find JewishRacism.com in your computers either this morning or later. and look for the Jewish genocide of Armenian Christians. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by historian Christopher John Bjerknes. He is the author of, among many other things, The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. And if you go to jewishracism.com, jewishracism.com, and go to the left-hand column there and click on Armenian Genocide, you will come to a link for a free PDF file where the complete 575-page book of Christopher John Bjerknes is available. I have not yet read the manuscript. It is one of the things, however, that I am going to do because I'm fascinated by this subject, not simply in terms of the analysis that he provides in regard to the real context behind what happened in the first part of the 20th century, but it begs the question as to why the research that he brings to us is conveniently to be found virtually nowhere else. I am personally aware of no other source other than Christopher John Bjerknes, who manages to explain to us what was really going on in this situation, which I think may have something to do with what Paul Craig Roberts was talking about in today's op-ed piece for Lou Rockwell, which is that basically we have, in terms of mainstream media and presumably in terms of the mainstream historical and educational process that is connected to mainstream media and the financial and political forces that control these entities, a real desire to suppress the kind of information that you're going to find at JewishRacism.com, which is why it's all the more imperative that you and I not only read the manuscript that Christopher John Bjerknes has given us to read, but that we make sure that our family members and friends and extended list of contacts also see this research, not simply in terms of understanding what happened in the first part of the 20th century, but as Christopher points out to us, whether you're looking at the contemporary Zionist utilization of some of these Iranian expatriate groups, which is the subject of an article that I recently wrote for the American Free Press, or you're talking about the utilization on the part of the Zionist movement of both Hamas and Fatah within the Palestinian nationalist movement, or a series of other things, there is an obvious strategy of divide and conquer and infiltration that is being utilized here that in this situation is quite potentially going to produce a third world war, in the same way that this business with Armenia and the Ottoman Empire produced for the Zionists a planned First World War. That, to me, is one of the most chilling aspects of the incredible information that Christopher John Bjerknes brings to us this morning. Christopher, back to this whole thing of Freemasonry then. I'm looking at Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan. And in the first however many pages, I think from page 32 onward, he goes into a discussion of Rothschild, Meyer Rothschild's drawing up of plans for the creation of the Illuminati. And Hitchcock basically indicates that it was an Ashkenazic Jew, Adam Weishaupt, a crypto-Jew, a Jew who pretends he's not Jewish, who is outwardly Roman Catholic, giving us Hitchcock's description here, to organize and develop this thing, and that from that point onward, at least in Hitchcock's analysis, Freemasonry over time through Adam Weishaupt becomes progressively more infiltrated with an Illuminati doctrine that seems to be in turn tied to the inside plans of Jewish central bankers, chiefly at least on an initial basis, the Rothschild banking empire. Is that a correct understanding of this, and is that basically the crux of the issue in terms of what the Freemasonic movement was apparently doing in this Armenian situation with the Ottoman Empire in the first part of the 20th century?
Yes, and there was involvement in the French Revolution. But this this Rothschild plan to instigate revolutions through the means of the Illuminati and then through the means of Freemasonry goes back to the Lurian Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah is an instrument by which Jews decided that they were going to fulfill Jewish messianic prophecies through political action. And one of the political actions that they were going to take was to instigate revolutions. And the Illuminati's fundamental purpose was to destroy the Roman Catholic Church, to pit Roman Catholics against Protestants and Protestants against Roman Catholics, and ultimately to destroy all other religions other than Judaism, and to instigate revolutions that would destroy all government and eventually lead to a Jewish world government to be led in Jerusalem by a Jewish king, and that Jewish king was to be a Rothschild. So they were making Rothschild the Messiah of the Jews by political action, and this was a plan that was established in the Lurian Kabbalah, which was picked up by a character named Shabbatai Zevi, who thought in 1666 that he was the Messiah.
Yes, yeah, so that and in terms of the Kabbalah, Are we to see this primarily as a late 17th century manifestation, or does it go back prior to that time?
It goes back much further, I would say 12, 1300s. The primary document then was the Zohar, but it goes back even much further than that. The Zohar claimed to be an ancient manuscript, and I believe it was written in Aramaic, but it was obviously a fraud because it talked about Muhammad and other things which occurred much after it was dated. But you find the roots of the Kabbalah in the Talmud and in the oral tradition of the Pharisaic Jews.
Yes, and so what you have then is so that the listeners and I can understand this correctly, you begin with the oral traditions of the Pharisaic Jews who, according to the New Testament, were involved in this conspiracy against Jesus Christ. That then becomes codified through the Babylonian Talmud in terms of being put to paper. And then from the Babylonian Talmud, we have a direct traceable lineage to the Kabbalah. And from the Kabbalah and the Talmud, we can then see the precursors to the infiltration of the Freemasonic movement.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And the utilization of the Freemasonic movement as a means of establishing secret societies where people could get together in private and plan these things, and also one of the methods that the Illuminati used and also which Freemasonry uses is to demand that anyone who joins reveal all their secrets, so that these people then reveal not only their own secrets but the secrets of other people, and these people all then become susceptible to blackmail, so they make very good politicians because their careers can be destroyed at any point because they have revealed all their private secrets.
Yes, and I think that Hitchcock goes into this in some detail in regard to the fact that all kinds of things, monetary bribery, sex bribery, blackmail, and so forth are all utilized to cause careers to rise and fall according to people's willingness to be subservient to what is essentially a conspiracy that goes back to at least the first century and then later finds itself being codified with the Babylonian Talmud. Then later you have the development of the Kabbalah, and that all of these things provide the ideological seeds for what then develops from the 18th century onward, as near as I can tell, as far as the specific Jewish Zionist infiltration of world Freemasonry.
And this is this may be controversial in the mainstream, but it was documented at the time by Robeson in his book Proofs of a Conspiracy, and by Abbe Barul, who was murdered shortly after he produced a manuscript demonstrating that Masonry was actually Jewish in its fundamental orientation in terms of its political activities. The Scottish Free White Masonry became infiltrated and became very Jewish, especially in terms of Trotsky and in terms of the Young Turk Revolution. There are other aspects of Freemasonry which aren't involved in it, but there was definitely an infiltration, and it was oriented towards revolutions and destroying religions other than Judaism. It was oriented towards artificially fulfilling Jewish messianic prophecies to establish Rothschild as king of the Jews from his throne on Mount Zion.
Yes, and just to put this into a most ominous contemporary context for the listeners who presumably are following the very fine historical analysis that you're giving us here and that I'm also enjoying, I feel like I'm sitting at the feet of a master as I listen to you explain this, not simply to the listeners but to me as well, Christopher. And as we begin speaking about this, I am aware of at least one major American university in the Northeast, based in Washington, D.C., as a matter of fact, where some of the most elite students in national security policy who are presumably being trained for the American State Department and the American Central Intelligence Agency, among others, in many cases have their time in this elite foreign policy school in Washington, D.C. Those, in some instances, they are receiving scholarship money from Scottish Rite Freemasonry.
Well, I'm with you. I find that worrisome. And I think to really grasp the depth of how these people could do such terrible things to other human beings, we have to understand the ideology behind this, because Christians are schooled in a Judaism which is different from the Judaism that these people practice. And Christians believe that the book of Deuteronomy says that the Jews will be restored when they begin to obey the commandments of God, when they follow the law, and when they become righteous and obedient to God and worship God, which is clearly spelled out in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, that didn't happen. And this group of Jews expected that that would never happen. And they have an alternative to Deuteronomy chapter 30 in the book of Sanhedrin in the Talmud in folio 97a, which provides the alternative that the world, that Jews can obtain redemption through committing sins and heresy. And that if the Jews were to become entirely heretical, as opposed to what Deuteronomy 30 says, where they become entirely righteous, that that will also provoke God to destroy the world and bring about the Messianic era. Now, these Jews believed that they had two alternatives. They could either turn the Jewish people entirely religious and righteous, or they could turn the Jewish people entirely heretical. And that is why in this same period you have Reform Judaism and a massive push to convert Jews to Christianity and to Islam, because this group of Shabbatean Frankist Jews set about to make the Jews heretical. And this is also why the political Zionist movement was manifested, so that this would be done as an evil act in violation of the Torah, because these Jews believe that in order to obtain redemption for the Jewish people, they would have to do the exact opposite of the Torah, and that would provoke God to intervene to bring down the Messiah and to bring the world into the Messianic era. So it is important to understand that the motivation of these people is to perpetrate the worst possible evils that they can conceive of, and to do the exact opposite of the Torah, of the morality of the Torah.
And, you know, I think this is absolutely pivotal in my, for my understanding of this, Christopher, because going back to my own education, both in college and later in a Christian seminary, I find it absolutely significant that in terms of my own exposure to the kinds of things you're talking about, that did not happen at any point in my collegiate education. It did not happen at any point in my seminary education at two different famous evangelical seminaries in America. In other words, that even in non-dispensational, non-premillennial understandings of Christianity, I was never told at any point in any of the graduate classes that I took about this whole business of the Babylonian Talmud. I never received any instruction in what the Kabbalah was. I was never told anything about Freemasonry. Now, I come from a religious tradition, the German Lutheran, which opposes Christians belonging to the Freemasonic Lodge or to other secret societies. But in terms of delving into the history of it, and delving into the kinds of things that you're talking about here, nobody did that on my behalf at any point in my education. I have had to, by God's grace, discover these things over time through the research of people like yourself, and I have just embarked in recent times on a self-study, which at some point will include your materials as well. And I find it significant that if that is the case for me, in terms of a massive information blackout over a period of many years, one can presume that for the average American, they are totally in the dark about this stuff.
Well, yes, and we find it today whenever people bring up the Talmud, as I think happened on a BBC discussion forum, they're called anti-Semitic, and they simply quote the Talmud. And another thing that is done is that the Talmud has been censored and edited so that when the original verses of the Talmud are quoted, many Jews and many rabbis, some sincerely, some deceitfully, will claim that it is being mistranslated or misrepresented, when in fact those are the actual real verses of the Talmud. And there has been a flip-flopping over time, over thousands of years where the Talmud has been banned, and then alternatively all of the books which expose the Talmud have been banned. And a significant event happened in Germany that involves Lutheranism. Gutenberg invented the printing press, and the Jews began to print the Talmud, which made it then available to Christian theologians, including Martin Luther. And it was through this printing, I think, of the Amsterdam edition, that Martin Luther was able to determine how anti-Christian, virulently anti-Christian, the Talmud is. It says horrible things about Jesus. It says horrible things about the Virgin Mary and about Christianity, and it condemns Christians to extermination through the Noahide laws. And all this became available to Christian theologians, and Martin Luther wrote a book called On the Jews and Their Lies, where he exposed much of this.
Yes, and I have read that work by Luther, although not recently. Much of modern Lutheranism simply apologizes for the existence of this work to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and tries to leave it at that. When we come back, we'll try to refocus again on the specifics of all of this in terms of the Jewish genocide of Armenian Christians. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Christopher John Bjerknes and his website, JewishRacism.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
and Us America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Christopher John Bjorknes of JewishRacism.com, talking about the genocide that took place of Armenian Christians, the Jewish genocide that was fomented upon Armenian Christians. You can find the full details on this at JewishRacism.com. Wanted to warn Christopher and also the listeners that this tends to be a time of frequent commercial interruption in the next 5 to 10 minutes or so. So, and then there will be a more extended time for conversation. I see that I have some callers up on the board that I want to get to here in just a few minutes. But at this particular time, I would like to ask all of you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can do that in one of a couple of ways. You can contact us with your gifts by using the website and getting to us at www.republicbroadcasting.org, or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. You can also get to us by writing us via snail mail. And our mailing address now is 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302 in Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or again, utilize 1-800-724-2719 or www.republicbroadcasting.org. And if you have any questions today for Christopher John Bjorknes, you can call him in the next hour or so, hour to hour and a half or so, at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Christopher, I think we're going to be taking another break in about a minute, so it's kind of an awkward time to ask you to continue with our conversation. But just in terms of what we are dealing with here, do you essentially then see this as a situation where at the peace conference of 1903, certain things were being let out of the bag in terms of what the Zionist game plan was for both Armenia as well as for the Ottoman Empire and for the world, for that matter, with the ultimate game plan in mind of establishing a Jewish homeland in Palestine, ultimately creating a world government that would have a Jewish Messiah at its head? Keeping all of that in mind, when some of this came out, at least portions of it in 1903, why was there not a more concerted attempt, in your view, on the part of world central governments that were being targeted by this sort of thing to attempt to weed out its the subversion that was within its midst, or were there attempts that simply failed?
That's a very important and a very, very good question. And I should point out that the conference was a Zionist conference. It wasn't yet a peace conference. As you know, it was a Zionist conference where the plans for the peace conference were revealed.
Here's that infamous music, Christopher. We're going to a break, but let's really pick it up with this when we get back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Christopher John Bjorknes, the author of The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. You can find his website at JewishRacism.com. Stay tuned.